This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 1st, 2016, the sixth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My peace I give to you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. My peace I give to you. Hear those words every single Mass. We love to hear about the joy and peace of our Christian life. Absolutely true. We should understand that this peace goes far, so far beyond what we can comprehend. At the end of every Mass, our benediction starts out with the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You cannot understand the kind of peace that he gives to you. What is peace, though? Because you can't accept this peace, you can't even begin to understand this peace unless you know what peace is. About a year ago, I preached a homily and I pointed out that peace is not necessarily the absence of conflict. St. Jose Maria Escriva actually answers the question, what is peace, in a most succinct and very, very pointed manner for us Catholics. What is peace? Peace is something intimately associated to war. Peace is a result of victory. Peace demands of me a constant struggle. Without that struggle, I'll never be able to have peace. You cannot have peace without the struggle. What's really unfortunate in our day and age is the message that you hear so frequently and so often is that it's all about just being happy. It's all about just the peace and the joy part of it. You cannot have the peace without having the struggle. Our Catholic life is a struggle. It's not a matter of a downer. It's not a matter of, oh, I don't want to hear about that part. We have to hear about that part. It is our lot. We cannot help it. It's as if in this world, a child is born into a society where there is an ongoing war. A child doesn't want war, doesn't like to be surrounded by the violence, might not want to be a soldier and fight in the war. But guess what? Nonetheless, there's an enemy who is constantly attacking. The violence is there. What are you going to do about it? That is our spiritual lot. We live in a sin-cursed and fallen world. We are born into it. That's all there is to it. And Father Lorenzo Scopoli, in one of the classic works on spiritual warfare, called the title, Spiritual Combat, he makes a statement. And the whole book is worth reading several times. But this one statement always rings in my ears, and that is, you either fight or you will be captured. That's all there is to it. Those are the two options for us as Catholics. Fight or be captured. And you don't want to be captured by our enemy. Who is our enemy? Satan, that dragon, the devil. He is our enemy. You want to be captured by him? Don't fight. Our lot is to fight. We have to fight. Because without the struggle, you're not going to have peace. Because the peace comes after victory in the struggle. That is your Catholic faith. It's a struggle. Contrary to what you may hear now. Your faith is not coming in here and listening that you should be nice to one another. You should be even more nice to people who don't believe like you do. Never be confrontational with them and give money to the poor and everything will be just fine. Wrong. That is absolutely wrong. That is actually antithetical to the history of your church. Who established your church? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The struggle started for him. A lot of us like to go to the Easter story. The struggle started at his incarnation. He's in heaven for all eternity. Perfect bliss with the Father and the Holy Ghost. For eternity, perfection. And he comes into this mess. Gained him nothing, gained us everything. His suffering and struggle started then. And we know the end of the story. It didn't get any better. That's the one who founded your church. That is the personification of joy and peace. That's whose peace we have if we struggle. It just wasn't with Jesus. Throughout the history of your church, the apostles, yeah, they got close to him. What happened to them? Constant struggle. Then eventually, peace after death. Throughout the history of the church, St. Francis, everybody loves St. Francis. Paul picked St. Francis and the animals. St. Francis, he helped the poor. Yep, absolutely. The same St. Francis that when he was confronted with personal temptations, he stripped himself of his clothes and jumped in a thorn bush and rolled around. That's how adamant he was with confronting temptations of the flesh. St. Francis, who went and confronted Islam to its face, throwing the gauntlet. Hey, let's do this. You pray to your Allah, and I'll pray to my God, and we'll both jump in the fire. The Muslim, St. Francis was absolutely willing to do it. Just last week in the old calendar, St. Peter Canisius, doctor of the church, saint of the church, don't usually use, for those who know him, don't use the term doctor of the church too much for him. You know what his nickname was because of what he did for the church, why he's a saint, why he's a doctor of the church? You know what his nickname was? Hammer of Protestants. He confronted them for the heretics that they are. And he's a doctor of the church and a saint because of it. And now what do we hear? Oh, next year we're planning on going to meet with them and have these big meetings. Oh, what a nifty thing it was that they did, ripping tens of thousands of souls out of the body of Christ. My, how times change. St. Jose Maria Escriva. You know, we think about saints and we think about this ancient history. St. Jose Maria Escriva died in the 1970s. I was alive when he was still alive. Recent canonization. And St. Jose Maria knew about the struggle, and he penned these words that I just read to you, that peace is the result of victory against constant struggle, particularly for us. That is our faith. And it's just not the church, it's you as an individual. I mean, every single day, the temptations to do things that you're not supposed to do, to omit things that you should do, that's everybody's lot every single day. How do you struggle with those things? They are subtle struggles. And then you're going to get the big ones. Notice I didn't say you might. You will. You can't help it. You live in this world. You are going to lose friends. You are going to lose loved ones. Guess what? You are going to get sick and die should the Lord tarry. That's the struggle. The peace comes afterwards. The peace comes with victory. That's what this is all about. Again, contrary to what you hear so often anymore. And this can be troubling for us, to all this struggle. But what are we here talking about today? We're talking about peace. As I said, you can't talk about it without the struggle. But let's talk about this peace that the Lord gives us, because it is inconceivable. It is truly what we hear every, the peace that passeth all understanding. We can't get it. What is this peace? For one thing, it's not ours. It's something that has been given to us as a gift. by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is yours for the taking if you want it. And if you want it, you will strive for it. You will struggle for it. Our Lord says, my peace I give to you. Peace is a result, as I said, of victory. Not ours, His. It's done. He is victorious. Last breath He had in His lungs. It is finished. It is finished. I've done my part. Now you do yours. I have gained you a place in heaven because you could not gain it beforehand. I've gained you a place in heaven. Now strive for it. Struggle for it. You cannot be passive. You must be active. Our Lord Jesus Christ fought the constant struggle and He won. Now, during the struggle, it can appear in the world's eyes like you don't win. I mean, when the world looks at that, he's a big loser. Pharisees thought so, wagging their heads at him. Hey, you saved others. Come on down from the cross. Then we'll believe you're the Messiah. Come on down. Mocking him. Then he died. Look at that. He's dead. Died with criminals. Executed like a criminal, because he was a criminal in their minds. Big loser. We know a whole lot better than that. His tomb is empty. That's the temporal perspective, the world's perspective on Christ's victory. But for us, that's where we gain this peace that passes all understanding, because we have to understand that, as I pointed out on Easter Sunday with the resurrection, our glory is the fact that we are part of a body of which the head has already risen. We cannot help but to rise ourselves. It is a necessity if we strive and struggle, because we have His peace. He goes on to say, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. That is His emphasis. That is the stress of His statement. I leave you my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. That should be such an overwhelming part of the Mass. When the celebrant turns and says, the peace of the Lord be always with you. You should be overwhelmed that this is an alien peace. It is a supernatural, heavenly peace. That's what is to be communicated. And what has happened with that? It has been denigrated to the most mundane sign that you could possibly think of about peace. Shaking hands with someone. The peace of the Lord, God Almighty, the Creator of all things, be with you. Hey, how you doing? Peace be with you. Really? Come on. It actually is communicating exactly the opposite of what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying there. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. I give you something transcendent, something supernatural. And how that is manifest in your life is in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit of God who dwells in you. And that is a reality as a result of your baptism. And it is confirmed at your confirmation, hence the name. It is brought to fruition. It is flowered at your confirmation. The presence of the Holy Spirit within you makes all of this talk about peace a reality. If you listen to Him, and you know what He tells you to do constantly and shows you how to do, is struggle and strive. The Holy Spirit is like a personal trainer in this world. Yeah? You go to the gym. What is the gym? Most of us have showed up there once or twice, tried anyway, okay? What do you do when you go to the gym? You make your body endure resistance. And the more resistance, the stronger you get. The more you struggle, the bigger you get, the stronger you get, the tougher you get. And if you listen to a personal trainer, he actually knows what he's doing. He's like, hey, do this, get on that, do this over there. I don't want to hang around with him because he wants me to go over there and that's hard. Yeah, well, you need to be on that first. And you need to be on that most because it's hard. You're going to get most out of that. The Holy Spirit is our personal trainer. Just like a personal trainer in a gym knows this weight machine and that bunch of weights and how to do this and how to do that, the Holy Spirit does the same thing. He says, hey, believer, there's the church. There's the sacraments. There's your involvement in the church. There's the Word of God. There's prayer. Use it. Do this. Do that. Guess what? Just like a personal trainer, you can do what he says and get a whole lot stronger, a whole lot tougher, be able to resist all kinds of trash in this world. Or you could do what a lot, probably most people do when they go to the gym. It starts to hurt. They stop going. They quit. And you know what happens after that. All right? The Holy Spirit is just like that. He is there. He dwells within inside you. He is real. He tells you to do real things. He wants you to make your faith a reality. You can either listen to him and get a whole lot stronger, or you can ignore him. And you know what happens then. We can quench the Holy Spirit. He is not going to put a ring through your nose and drag you around. You are not a puppet on a string. As I said, Jesus Christ has done his part. Time for you to do yours. Now it's up to you. It's a reality. I'll end with another quote from St. Jose Maria, right after he said what he said about peace being the result of victory and demanding a constant struggle. He says, and I quote, "When God comes to you, you will realize the truth of this, and this peace you will feel even in the midst of tribulation." Don't cop out on this whole thing, and when you think about this peace, to think that you're going to have a goofy grin on your face when bad things happen in this world, all right? It doesn't mean that you won't have anxiety about things. It doesn't mean you won't occasionally sorrow over some things, but you will never despair. You ought never despair because you ought to put your eyes on the crucifix. It is finished. He has given you his peace, a peace which defies understanding, a peace that is in no way, anyway, can be manifest in this world. In the Father and the Son.